Hello, Catalyst listeners. Stephen Lacey here. I'm the executive producer of the show, and we are bringing you a special crossover episode this week from The Carbon Copy. That's a show I host. We did an episode recently that I think is going to resonate with a lot of you. It's about this urgent climate tech problem, America's shortage of electricians. You know that to decarbonize the economy, we need to electrify as much as possible. We have billions of machines that we need to swap out, and that means installing new heat pumps, EV chargers, electric water heaters, rooftop solar panels, just electrify as much as possible. But electricians across the country are flooded with work just as demand is skyrocketing, and many in the field are nearing retirement age, and that means it's hard to get that work done. So we worked with the nonprofit newsroom Grist on this special episode that we're bringing you. And in it, I talked to reporter Emily Pontecorvo about where we can find all the electricians we need to electrify everything. She went on this mission and talked to people who are in training programs, who are having trouble getting the work done. It's a really fun episode. I think it is a great illustration of the economy-wide challenges we face as we undergo this transition. And one more thing before we start, I want to tell you about a live episode of The Carbon Copy we're hosting on April 6th in Somerville, Massachusetts at Greentown Labs. We're going to have some very special guests, Priya Donti, the head of climate change AI, and Jesse Morris, who is the CEO of the Energy Web Foundation, and some other guests who are focused on this broad category of AI and digital climate solutions. We're going to be talking about this extremely hot sector and talk about artificial intelligence and all the real-world applications already out in the energy sector and in climate solutions. We're going to sort through hype, provide context, and talk about high-value applications in the energy system. And that's not all. We've got a panel led by Canary Media's Maria Virginia Olano with some top energy and climate journalists in New England. And we're going to have drinks, food, networking. So come spend some time with me, the Canary Media team, and the Postscript Media team at Greentown Labs on April 6th. Get your ticket in the link in the show notes. And now, without further ado, here's our special episode of The Carbon Copy, The Great Electrician Shortage.
From the studios of Postscript Media and Canary Media.
We talk a lot on this show about the movement to electrify everything, including how we heat our homes, how we get from place to place. And to reach our climate goals, we need to install millions of heat pumps, electric water heaters, rooftop solar panels, and EV charging ports. That means we need to find people who are trained to install them. But what happens if we can't find them? This week, we've got a special collaboration with Grist, and our guest contributor today is a Grist staff writer, Emily Pontecorvo. She has been working to untangle this electrification puzzle in a feature for Grist, and she's here with us now to explain it. Emily, welcome to the show.
Hey, Stephen. Thanks so much for having me on.
Okay, so I'm very intrigued by this story. There's obviously a lot of momentum around electrifying everything, but it appears there are some bottlenecks. So where does this story begin?
So this past summer, I was in the Bay Area, which is like the birthplace of the movement to electrify everything. Berkeley, California was the first city in the country to ban gas in new buildings, and that was back in 2019. Now dozens of cities have followed. And so while I was there, I talked to a lot of homeowners who had tried to electrify some aspect of their home, like switch to heat pumps or install an electric vehicle charger. Homeowners like Champori Rith.
My name's Champori, and I am a product designer at a company called Airtable, and I moved to Berkeley with my partner a couple of years ago at the end of 2020. We were just kind of browsing and ended up finding this house that we fell in love with, and then came the joys and tribulations of homeownership.
Champori is not like a diehard environmentalist or anything, but he told me he's concerned about climate change and his new home uses natural gas. And so he wants to eventually go fully electric. Before switching out his stove or anything, he decided to start with getting rooftop solar. And it wasn't as straightforward as he hoped.
It turned out that the number of amps that we have in our house didn't really support having solar panels. So that was why we were looking for an electrician, was to look at upgrading our electricity. And I didn't realize just how difficult that would be.
This problem that Champori was facing is common. There's this nonprofit, Rewiring America, and they estimate that something like 60 to 70% of homes in the U.S. are going to need to upgrade their electrical panels in order to accommodate solar or new electric appliances. But when Chinpuri started looking for an electrician...
That was very eye-opening. They were basically all pretty booked out pretty far in advance. I think one was several months. And so that was very, very disheartening.
It wasn't just that the electricians were busy. The entire process just felt kind of backward.
It's just hilarious because it just felt like, you know, trying to get your kid into like, you know, a nice kindergarten or preschool where you like have to be interviewed and do a lot of things just to get on the radar of these electricians.
Oh man, I can completely relate to this. So I moved into a new older house about a year ago. And over the last year, we have been going through a lot of upgrades. We're re-insulating the house. We're completely rewiring the house. We've added heat pumps. We've replaced all the old windows. And so I've dealt with a lot of different kinds of contractors. And it's been really hard to set up the work because everybody is super busy. They're coming in trying to assess whether the project is worth it. And I found an electrician who I really love who's helped me through this process, but they are so busy, it's really hard to get on their schedule. So I can definitely relate to how tough it is to find the right electrician.
Yeah, I mean, and I talked to a bunch of homeowners just like you, just like Chinpuri, all over the country who have had this experience. And that's what this sort of baseline demand for electricians that we have today. I mean, the switch to heat pumps and EVs has barely even started.
Right. And this switch is very urgent. Transportation is almost a third of U.S. carbon emissions, and burning fossil fuels at home is another 10%.
I mean, and now we have a chance to actually cut those emissions because of technological advancements and new incentives through the Inflation Reduction Act that was just passed. There's billions of dollars in rebates to help people make the switch.
So the table is set for widespread electrification, but...
it just won't be possible without more people trained to do this work.
This is The Carbon Copy. I'm Stephen Lacey.
And I'm Emily Pontecorvo. And this week we're asking, why are electricians so hard to find? And how do we build up the workforce to electrify everything?
In the blink of an eye, AI has become one of the largest new sources of power demand in the U.S. So how do we serve the AI boom without building lots of new fossil gas plants? And how can we seize the opportunity to get creative about expanding grid capacity and designing data centers? This is one of the most pressing stories in energy right now. And on May 8th, Latitude Media is holding a virtual event on this topic as part of our Transition AI series. I'm going to be joined by three experts who will offer a range of views on how to address the energy needs of AI computing. And you can sign up for free by going to latitudemedia.com/events or click the link in the show notes. May 8th, Transition AI, AI and Power Demand. I'll see you there.
So I didn't just hear about this problem from homeowners. I also spoke to a bunch of contractors who, let me just say, they were not easy to get a hold of. They are truly swamped. But I met this guy, Boren Reyes.
So my name is Boren Reyes, and I'm currently CEO of Boise Electric Incorporated. We currently have two locations, one in Oakland and one in Sacramento.
Boren's young. He's only 28. He grew up in Guatemala and came to California when he was a teenager. And he first got introduced to electrical work in high school. His dad was a general contractor, and Boren would come to help out on jobs over the summer. At one point, this electrician that his dad worked with needed an extra hand, and so Boren started working for that guy, and it just set him on this whole new path.
When I was about to graduate from high school, I decided that I wanted to do that for a living. Plus, you know, back then I was kind of thinking, you know, I want to make money quick. It was the easiest way for me to make money quick and eventually move out of the house.
It was mostly about the money at first, but Boren came to really like the work too.
What I really, really like is you really have to be focused on it because literally it's a safety. And also you have to be hands-on most of the time and also like solving problems, putting pieces together. What type of system am I going to install? How am I going to be running this wire? How am I going to run this conduit? You know, why the customer is overloading the circuit? There are so many things that go with that. And that's why I fell in love.
These days, Boren is busy. He's got 12 technicians at his company, and he can barely keep up with demand.
If we're super busy and then we don't do any advertisement, if it's organic, we're getting a minimum of 3 to 4 calls a day. If we do advertise, at that point, we get up to 15, 20 calls a day. It's crazy because customers are literally looking for electricians every single day. And then now, before, you know, we're able to get to an emergency right away. Now we cannot. So we're not taking emergency calls anymore because we don't have the manpower.
Part of the reason he's not taking emergency calls anymore is because he's got this new specialty. About a year ago, Boren entered a partnership with this company called QMerit. They send him new electric vehicle owners who need someone to install their chargers. And so now he's doing a lot of that kind of work. He says he's usually booked up like 3 weeks to a month in advance. I asked him if he could expand his team to take on more jobs, and he said it just wasn't possible right now.
Because it's not just a matter of, hey, yeah, let me hire people, and then because you have to go with them through training. And then so it might take you a month to 2 months for them to be ready to finally go out on the field, know how to interact with customers, and then they will not know how to execute the job right away. It might take them a year. So now it's going to take a lot of our resources to be focused on this job. Like, for example, we should get it done, let's say, within 2 days. And then now it's taking 3 days because my lead technician is taking the time to teach them on the field, which is the best way to learn, but it's literally taking time out of it. And it's cutting profits. It's just really complicated.
So is it like, there's nobody out there who, if you were just like looking for an experienced electrician, there's nobody out there that you could hire. Like it would, there's only people that are basically new to the field.
That is correct. That is correct. Because all the people that currently know how to do the work, they're currently busy. I mean, if they're currently taken by other companies, and then now they're getting paid really, really good.
Okay, so let me get this straight. We've got a lot of homeowners who want to electrify, but they can't find electrical contractors. We've got contractors who want to ride this electrification wave. They see it as a chance to grow and take on more jobs, but they can't find electricians to hire. So why don't we have more people coming in for these jobs that are in demand and pretty high paying?
It's a great question, and it's one that I asked pretty much everyone I spoke with. A lot of people blame the fact that we don't really push vocational education in high school in the U.S. anymore. You know, there's just been this push toward everyone going to 4-year colleges. Here's Panama Bartholomew. He's one of the experts that I spoke with, and he is the executive director of this nonprofit called the Building Decarbonization Coalition.
We're seeing a graying of the workforce, and we're seeing all these people that have spent their career knowing how, learning the intricacies of how to install HVAC correctly, how to install water heaters correctly, et cetera, and they're graying out. You know, the average age is 55 right now for an HVAC installer or a plumber. I think one of the big questions is really like, do millennials and Zoomers see a career for themselves in crawl spaces and attics doing this work? I mean, it's some good work, but we don't encourage people to go into the trades in this country. You know, it's you should be going to 4-year college and go and learn C++ programming, not working in the trades.
This right here is such an important point because we need more people to do the work of decarbonization, and that means more boots on the ground jobs. And we're seeing an aging workforce across the trades in the utility space, in electrical contracting, in plumbing. And so we need to bring in younger workers and we need more vocational opportunities. So as I've done a lot of work on our house, I've used that as an opportunity to teach our 3-year-old about how important electricians, plumbers, and builders are and how they're doing the most foundational work in our society. So this is partly a cultural problem. We need people to be able to see this career as an option when they're young. We just need to value it more as a society.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I feel the same way. I didn't have any vocational education opportunities in my high school. And let's not forget that you can make pretty good money doing this. The median salary for an electrician in the Bay Area is about $90,000. And a lot of people make 6 figures.
Sign me up. But really, if I wanted to transition my career and suddenly become an electrician, how would I do it?
Well, so I learned in reporting the story that there are many different paths into the field. For one, you can apply to a union apprenticeship program. Those are free and they offer paid on-the-job training. It's pretty nice, but there is a test to get in and there's limited spots. So some people go a different route. They start by finding a licensed contractor like Boren who's willing to take them on and train them in the field. And then many community colleges also offer training programs. But this, I found, is where there's another bottleneck in this whole story.
Yeah, we talked earlier about this obsession we have as a country with four-year degrees. So I'm guessing on the flip side, that means underfunding community colleges.
Yeah, so those community college programs, they aren't exactly well-funded. But the other problem is it can be really hard for them to find people to teach the classes, in part because of the shortage of electricians. In the Bay Area, this birthplace of Electrify Everything, the place to take electrical training classes is a school called Laney College. And the program there almost collapsed when one of the teachers retired this year.
Before we get to it, we're going to take a very quick break. And then when we come back, we'll hear about what happened at Laney College and then explore some solutions to this cascading problem.
Should we go on to your boat or?
Yeah, that'll be the quieter place to be.
Let me introduce you to David Pitt.
It'll still probably be kind of noisy, so I apologize, but we'll see. We'll see how it does.
Okay, that's okay. I can create a little atmosphere. I met him on this old sailboat in the Oakland Marina back in July. He uses it as an office. And I wanted to talk to him because he was in the middle of finishing the electrical program at Laney College. He got into electric work almost by accident.
At one point, when I was just working various cash gigs, I was doing TaskRabbit and I was tutoring people and just things I could get quick cash. And I would just travel and was kind of a bum in my mid-20s. And then at some point, a friend of mine was like, "Hey, I saw this sign. You can volunteer install solar on a rooftop. Check it out. You might like that kind of thing."
He liked it so much that he kept going back. He ended up getting a job with the company. But he soon realized that in order to progress in this career, to make more money and do more interesting aspects of the work, he needed to get certified as an electrician.
This is something I can really sink my teeth into. It's got a clear career path, which I couldn't say for some of the other gigs I was doing. It's like, okay, you're going to learn this skill and then learn to manage your own business. And then the sky is kind of the limit in a way.
So David enrolled in the electrical training program at Laney College. And when I talked to him, he only had about 3 classes left. But things had started to go south. There is this one teacher who is covering like 6 classes per semester and kind of holding the whole program together. And she retired. The deans were having a lot of trouble finding anyone to replace her. Suddenly, they weren't sure if the school was even going to be able to offer the classes that David needed to finish.
I guess the worst case is Laney collapses, and I would look at other community colleges and push it back 6 months, and probably be some paperwork nightmare of transferring credits and be a whole mess. But yeah, those rooms are packed, too. I mean, the classes had 40 students in them. The Zoom meetings are just jam-packed. A lot of people are trying to get this training.
I ended up speaking to the dean at Laney College over the summer. Her name is Alejandra Tomas, and she was definitely really stressed about this.
So when I started in this job on in February of 2021, I think my third day on the job, I was already told that we have an issue in finding faculty members to teach in the EET department.
EET stands for Electrical and Electronics Technology.
It's been a known fact that a lot of our faculty members are teaching more classes than ideal.
How did you feel when you heard that you were losing this teacher?
It was a pretty scary moment for me because I know that there's a lot of hunger from students to learn these materials. And I know that there's a lot of classes that we're offering. So for me to lose a faculty member who's probably teaching 5 or 6 classes is pretty difficult. So it was a panic moment. This is an issue for a lot of trade skills disciplines in a sense that employees usually earn more when they work in the field than they are in teaching. So it's hard to recruit for faculty members to our area. I think it's just made worse in EET because there's a shortage of electricians in the Bay Area.
By the fall, she still hadn't found a replacement.
Let's take a pause here for a second. I just need to get my head straight. So homeowners are having trouble getting electrification projects done because contractors are booked up. Contractors can't take on more clients because they can't hire. There's not enough trained electricians. And people who want to become electricians are having trouble getting through the training because the places where they're supposed to be learning how to become electricians can't find electricians to teach. Am I getting this right?
More or less.
Okay, so this is a giant puzzle. Seems very complicated. How do we piece it together?
So there are a number of different solutions I want to walk you through. And, you know, the first one is the story you just heard about Laney College. I think that points to a need for increased funding for community colleges so they can hire more faculty and pay them more money.
What about the union path? We talked about that earlier. Don't the unions train people as well, like through the apprenticeship programs?
That's another really interesting point. So the unions have this robust training pipeline. They offer free classes, paid apprenticeships, and they can offer those because of union dues, but they can only admit so many people. And so I spoke to labor advocates who think we need to strengthen the unions. Right now, union electricians, they don't really do that much work on houses because they're undercut by non-union electricians who can pay their workers less. And I was told that if some of the public funding that was coming out for electrification had labor standards attached to it, that could sort of level the playing field for the unions and help them compete for those jobs, and then they could train more workers.
And what about people like Boren at the top of the show? He was talking about how he was doing some worker training too, right?
Right. And so I heard from a lot of people that solving this also really hinges on involvement from people like Boren. And that's partly because, you know, they already know how to do this work. They're the people that will ultimately hire these workers. The obstacle there, as Boren talked about, is that training people eats into his profits. That's part of the reason he can't hire and grow right now. Panama Bartholomew, who you heard from earlier, he told me that one way to solve this issue might be to provide funding for this kind of training. Like, for example, the Inflation Reduction Act, it has funding for state energy offices to do workforce development. And some of that could be used to pay, let's say, half or three quarters of the wages of a trainee so that contractors like Boren can afford to take them on.
I am really curious about what contractors are saying about this carbon-free tech approach overall. You've got people like Boren who are super on it. He's got this partnership with an EV charger installation company. But in my experience, in talking to my electrician, for example, who's been really great, but also pretty skeptical of whole home electrification, it seems like there is a hesitance among some of the old school contractors about electrifying homes entirely or about EV chargers and heat pumps. So what is the spectrum of reactions that you're hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I also heard a lot of stories about this. I heard homeowners talk about there are contractors who told them, like, you're going to need natural gas backup for your heating system. Or I also talked to some contractors who were kind of skeptical of electrification. But I think this hesitancy is something that California is really working on. I heard about this program called Tech Clean California, and a big part of the program involves training contractors on how to install heat pumps and other technologies. And so they're giving them information about not just, you know, how to install them, but what incentives are available and how to, like, sell them to customers. And so far, they've trained about 600 contractors. Here's Panama Bartholomew talking about it.
And so there's a cadre of expert installers that are part of the tech team that are running different cohorts of installers through full-on training programs about not just, you know, how to install this stuff, but actually, like, why they should care that here's all the climate stuff, sure, but also here's all the policy stuff, like the writing's on the wall that this is coming. And you better get ready for it. California is going to be banning this stuff in 7 years. So start the transition now when there's a lot of money and incentives going.
Okay, so running down the list, we've got more funding for community colleges. We want to pay contractors to take on trainees. Potentially unionizing the work could help. And then you want to make sure contractors actually know how to install carbon-free technologies. Is that the list? Anything else?
Well, I feel like we still haven't really talked about the problem that seems to be at the heart of this issue. How can we inspire more people to want to become electricians in the first place? When I asked Boren this question, he had an answer right away.
Showing them how much money they can make, that is just the key. Because they can make just as much as, you know, an engineer. They can make more, you know, than a teacher. They can make more than, you know, a person that will spend their time, you know, 3 or 4 years in college. And then they don't see that. They don't show you that.
Yeah, this is exactly what we talked about earlier. This is a cultural problem. It's a marketing problem for the profession.
Yeah, I mean, the whole profession could use some good PR. I spoke to this one expert who works on workforce development. She's at the Interstate Renewable Energy Council, and her name is Laura Jean Davignon. One thing that they're trying to do over there is create resources for clean energy careers for schools and guidance counselors. And she was really enthusiastic about developing some kind of marketing campaign.
Something that we very much, we industry, the Alliance specifically, would like to do is some kind of outreach campaign, you know, talking about energy heroes or some other messaging that resonates with people and just is conveying that there are a range of jobs. That's the kind of thing we really need to start to remove the stigma from these trade jobs. And it could even be trades focused. I don't care. And I have a focus on clean energy. I think we'll have more luck if it does. You know, is the construction job sexy enough for someone, or do they also want, you know, do they want to be saving the world?
I love it. I can imagine these World War II era posters saying, become an electrician for the planet.
Yes, totally. That's right. Tell your kids.
Emily, thank you so much for joining us and for your excellent reporting on this story.
Thanks for having me.
Emily Pontecorvo is a staff writer at Grist. Thank you so much to her and to Grist for their collaboration. Grist is a magazine dedicated to climate justice and solutions, and you can go to grist.org to read Emily's feature. We're also going to link to it in the show notes. The Carbon Copy is a co-production of Postscript Media and Canary Media. This episode was produced by Alexandria Herr and Emily Pontecorvo. Ann Bailey is our editor. Sean Marquand mixed the show. He's our engineer. Original music came from Echo Finch and Blue Dot Sessions, and Sean Marquand made our theme. Postscript Media is supported by Prelude Ventures. Prelude is a venture capital firm that partners with entrepreneurs to address climate change across a range of sectors. That includes advanced energy, food and ag, transportation and logistics, advanced materials and manufacturing, and advanced computing. Thanks for engaging with us on social media. If you want to comment on this story, hit us up on Twitter. Send us an email to hello@postscriptaudio.com or go on over to Apple and Spotify and give us a rating. It's hugely helpful. I'm Stephen Lacey. This is The Carbon Copy. We'll catch you next week.